name is Bear Siragusa, and you are listening to the Hunting Hound Podcast, presented by W Hunting Supply. Howdy, folks. Bear here. Figured for this week, I wanted to talk about a couple different things. One of the things I wanted to talk about, or the main thing I wanted to talk about that'll kind of be the umbrella for everything else, is kind of being prepared when things get really weird, you know, and then we're talking natural disaster type weird, you know, acts of God type weird. Because in the last year, I've talked to people who have had their kennels completely burned out, homes, kennels, everything taken by forest fires. I've talked to people who've had their kennels taken by floods, wind storms, snow storms, ice storms, you know, everything. And this past summer, things got really nutty here, where we had floods like we've never had before, where not only, you know, where we live is, you know, a river valley, where not only did the river get higher than it had ever been, but the valley sides were so saturated that they started to slide. We had landslides all over the place, and a couple of them came real close to the house, and we were stuck. Our road was washed away, and some bridges were washed away, and things like that. And, you know, based off of previous experiences that friends of mine have had, and I like to have a little bit of a preparedness plan when it comes to stuff like this, because you never know what's going to happen. You know, you never know when, and you know, it can be something as dramatic as, you know, catastrophic biblical flooding, or something as simple as your car breaking down, you know, your truck breaking down, which happens to all of us. You know, if you're like me, it happens, you know, not infrequently. So it's kind of what I wanted to talk about, because when we're single and by ourselves, it doesn't really matter. You know, we go a couple of days without food, we're gonna be fine. But, you know, when you start having animals and kids and things like that, you kind of have to have a plan. And that's something that I want to talk about today, and some of the things that I do to make sure that if things go fully pear-shaped, that I am ready to be able to hang for a little while anyway. You know, I want to be ready. My goal is, if things get really nutty, I want to have a couple of things. I want to have enough food and access to water to keep me and the dogs and my family going for at least a week. And I also, in the case of, you know, forest fires or something like that, I want to have an escape route. I want to have a couple of different options for getting myself and my family and my pack out. And that's going to include not just a way to get off of the property, but also a place to go that is agreed upon in advance. So that's what I figured I'd talk a little bit about today. We are, real quick, I guess, before we get fully started, our season's rolling up, approaching the end here. We've got 9 more days before the season will be over completely until the 15th of August. So we will be making the most of those days. Now the snow's gotten pretty rotten, so the dogs are sinking in. I had old Buzz out this morning, and he was in the shade. Was the pack was carrying him, in the sun it was not, so he was punching through. So he got pretty tired. It's about 60 degrees outside right now, which is maybe not that much, 55. And, starting to really feel like spring, which is a godsend, because we have had just the coldest winter from mid-October until about now. It has been frigidly cold, and we've gotten a ton of snow. So starting to feel, lamenting the end of the season, but definitely feeling pretty good about the spring finally coming. So what I like to do in terms of disaster preparedness is I like to have a box of just basic stuff. that I can grab at a run, toss in the truck, and be ready to go. I want to have, and in that box, I want to have dog bowls. And this is just for my pack. My family, you know, that's a whole different thing. We'll keep it to dogs at this point. I want to have dog bowls so that I can feed the dogs. They don't need to be metal. I can use, you know, old Tupperware, old ice cream containers, whatever, you know, whatever. But something to hold food. I want to have a bucket with at least a week's worth of dry food. And, you know, dry food's ideal because it's going to keep pretty well. And, you know, when it's starting to get smell a little funky, I can just feed it out and then replace it. I also want a big jug of water because I don't know how long it's going to be until I've got access to fresh water. You know, like with the floods that happened this summer, you know, I had access to my well, but if I had to move from there and couldn't get to somebody else's well, that would have been challenging. So I want to have, you know, I want to make sure that I have the jug of water so that I can keep the dogs hydrated while they're on the truck. Because, you know, especially during the summertime, it can get kind of warm on the truck. And I want to make sure that they've got access to good, clean water. The other thing that I have in the back is a stakeout chain. So I don't know what you know, that's what we call it with the sled dog's stakeout chain. So, you know, long chain or cable system with drop chains, you know, little chains or little cables attached periodically throughout it. It's a really effective way to get a bunch of dogs in a small area in an emergency or when you're traveling. I like to have that on my truck or in my truck. And I'll have, you know, things like toenail clippers. I will have basic first aid type stuff just to make sure that if we are stuck on the truck for a week, that I have what I need to keep them healthy. One of the things that I like to have, because it can be a lot of stress, especially if they're picking up on that worst stress, which during a natural disaster is kind of natural that we're going to be. I like to have things like, there's a product over here called Promax, Canicure, or Zuloc is another one. And those are all anti-diarrhea medications. They'll kind of keep a dog's stomach stabilized. I like to have a couple of tubes of that as well. It just kind of keeps everything a little bit cleaner, a little bit nicer. If you've got a dog that's starting to stress out and getting that stress diarrhea, that can just make things so gross, especially if they're having a hard time in the box. You know, the other thing that I like to do is I like to have a trailer with a dog box on it, or my dog box on my truck. Most of the time, I don't want to have to mess with that in the case of an emergency, which is why I actually prefer the trailer, because then I can have all of this stuff down in the trailer, and all I need to do is back up, hook it up, and I'm gone. I don't need to worry about getting the dog box on there. It's a little bit of a hassle when I'm hunting. I'm not going to lie, to have a big trailer behind me and need to back that up and figure out ways to get it out of there. And sometimes I need to back up with a trailer for a mile, and that's kind of a pain in the ass. But, you know, all in all, it's not a bad way to transport dogs. And if I am going to go out with a small group, I can toss a couple of crates in the back of the truck and I'm good to go. You know, it's not that big of a deal. The other thing I want to have with, you know, in the truck is I want to have some kind of bedding for them. You know, after a few days on the truck, they can start getting kind of sores and things like that from just kind of lying on hard surfaces. And I don't want that. I would like to kind of see them get as comfortable as they possibly can while we're out there. You know, it's a stressed out dog is going to be an agitated dog, is going to be, eventually a destructive dog. They're going to start beating on each other, beating on the box, beating on, you know, equipment and things like that. And I don't, that's a pain in the butt. You know, that's an added source of stress that you don't want, wondering whether your dogs, you know, whether your dogs are chewing themselves free or eating on each other. So, the other thing is, you know, I want to make sure that I've got an escape plan. I want to make sure that, you know, for example, here I have a couple of different options. I've got the main driveway that comes up to the house, and then I've got an old forestry road that continues up past the house and eventually dumps out. It gets kind of rocky and bumpy, but eventually dumps out on another road that will bring me down to some of the main roads. This summer, both of those roads washed away, so I was actually fairly stuck here, but had the things that I needed never actually had to leave the house despite some landslides that slid by pretty a little too close for comfort. But the other option would have been to walk the dogs not that far. It would have been about a mile up to an area that was a lot flatter where landslides were not going to be rolling through, and then camp out there. And that would have been a pain, but it would not have been a big deal. I've got a cabin, like a hunting cabin up in the mountains, again, pretty flat. And by the time from here, once we get that mile past up the hill from here, we can get into that cabin. It's flat. We're not going to end up in any landslides or flooding, have any issues with those things. And up there, I've got, you know, a fairly extensive kit up there. You know, I've got a long drop chain with much longer chains. So, you know, we could be up there and live comfortably for months and months and months. The chances of that happening are fairly slim, but, you know, we could. Got access to water that's, you know, reasonably clean. It's not going to have a bunch of, it's some mountain streams with very little chance of, you know, things like giardia and things like, you know, crap like that. So another thing that I kind of want to make sure that I've got squared away before something happens is a place where we can go with a bunch of dogs. Because, you know, that's a challenge. You know, it's not like you can just roll over to your sister's house or your mom and dad's house and hang there with 20 dogs. At least not in our case. And, you know, then it's nice to have kind of a plan for somebody that's close enough by to make it, you know, make sense to go there, but, you know, not so close that they're going to be in the same boat that you're in. So, you know, I've got a couple of options there, and people that I've talked to and said, hey, you know, if the shit really hits the fan, can we come there? And, you know, the agreement is that's no problem. And one of the cases, I know I've got equipment over there, in the case of a, you know, big emergency, and I can be there for an extended period of time without that being, you know, without me destroying their equipment and their, you know, their food and their, you know, their dogs. So it's all just kind of things to think about, and also trying to kind of make the call when it's appropriate to bug out. You know, because there are some people who are just like, well, I'm not going to leave until the bitter end. You know, I know somebody who did that. It was like, I've cleared around my kennel. I'm sure it's going to be fine. And then the wind picked up and a big fire got going and ended up just burning through the entire kennel, caught their house on fire, their garage, lost a bunch of classic cars, and lost a bunch of dogs to the fire, ended up running out into the kennel and letting everybody loose and just to try and let them save themselves, because they realized that, you know, by the time they were ready to move, it was too late. And, you know, the people got away, and about half the dogs managed to get away, but a bunch of the older dogs and some of the puppies, they were killed in the fire, you know. So in hindsight, you know, they really regret that and wish that they'd bugged out when they had the opportunity to. So, you know, it's something to think about, having that in the back of your mind as to when you want to call it a day and when you're going to start thinking more in the terms of saving yourself and the things, you know, the living things you care about, and, you know, sort of accept the fact that there's going to be some property loss. You know, at least for me with kids and stuff, I'm not willing to take as many chances as I used to be, where, you know, I probably would have stuck around and just kind of fought, you know, seeing what's happened. It's like, you know, I would much rather just get out of there and make sure that I've got everybody that I've got responsibility for safe, including the dogs. So, you know, one of the things that I think is important to think about when you've got a bunch of animals is, how are you going to deal when things go really, really badly, when things go very pear-shaped? And, you know, again, it can be something as simple as your car breaking down. You know, I've had my car break down with all my dogs in the middle of a hot summer day, and was so thankful that I had the drop chains in the truck because I could get them out and I could get them in the shade of the truck and the trailer. And it wasn't ideal, but it was better than having them cooking in that dog box. I've had myself, and I've seen many, many people who have had, you know, have had dogs get a little bit too hot in the dog box. And I've even, you know, I know people who have had dogs that have died in the dog box, you know, didn't think they were getting too hot. And then suddenly they were just kind of past the point of where they could regulate them, their own body temperature, and it was too late. So, you know, it's worth having a little bit of a backup, even for, you know, basic everyday emergencies, you know, basic everyday inconveniences. You know, blowing your second tire on one hunt. You know, I think we've, at least I've done that, and been suddenly stuck and needed somebody to, you know, needed to, you know, do a patch that got me only a few miles, and, you know, run out of patch material and had to have somebody else come up and get me, and, you know, transport my dogs back to the house and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's just nice to have a couple of little things just to keep you and your dogs a little bit more comfortable. You know, because then the consequences of these sort of catastrophic things are not necessarily going to be that catastrophic. You know, you can, you may end up being in a position where you can then get back out hunting a few, you know, the same day, rather than ending up in a situation where your dogs have overheated and they're dehydrated and stressed out. And, you know, you've got a dog box full of diarrhea. Maybe it's just like, nah, you know, you've got some cleanup to do before you can get out again. So, it's just stuff like that that's kind of on my mind these days as we're getting ready to go into, you know, another mud season and another season for potential floods and things like that. You know, as we've had some droughts the last few years that lasted, one of them lasted for a couple of years until it started to rain. And then it rained for, 3 months, more or less nonstop. So I think, you know, I know that I've talked to people out and, you know, out west in some of the high desert areas where the wind storms and sandstorms are a big concern. I've certainly talked to people down in, you know, sort of the muggier, warmer parts of the country, you know, down in Florida and Georgia and places like that, where, you know, heat stroke and keeping them hydrated is going to be a real concern. And, you know, hurricanes and things like that. So, you know, it makes sense to have a little bit of a plan. And just felt like going over a little bit of that with you guys, sharing a little bit of what my plan is, what I do to make sure that I've got as good a chance of coming out of this as relatively unscathed as possible. Because, you know, I'm it's pretty devastating losing a pack to, you know, the everyday things that we kind of, you know, ask of our hounds. You know, that's pretty rough when we lose a hound, but losing a hound for something just because we weren't losing hounds because we weren't prepared for, you know, eventualities that we really have the time to prepare for, is, you know, there's an aspect of guilt there that's hard to shake, at least for me. So something to think about, but I hope everybody is having a great spring. Some of you are done for the year. Some of you are just getting rolling. I hope your hounds are healthy and whenever you get out are ready to rock and roll.
Man, I love that sound.